How do you do?
Mr. Carl Linley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Correctly with the correct amount.
Atomic batteries to power.
Got bat robots hunting down Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
It sounded good at the time, but I don't see this working out now.
Who the hell are you, anyone?
I don't know.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Long Shot Can.
I see this whole segment going wrong.
Big Papa P.
Just sitting out in the air gathering flies.
There is another dude, I forget.
Den.
You didn't call him a person. You called him God.
And the Monkey Boy.
It's time for the Loud Idiots Radio Broadcast. Your source for comic books, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, professional wrestling, and all the various and diverse elements of geek culture. So strap yourself to your chair, pull open your ears, and grab your D20 tight, because the show is about to begin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a lovely spring, winter, fall, probably summer, maybe, depending on when you're listening to this, evening or morning. Did I do a good enough job not pinning us down?
Forgot again? Twilight.
No. I can never forget Twilight. Shame on you for making me watch it.
Or forget Twilight.
Never. Never forget. Never forgive. I'm Big Papa Pete.
I'm Longshot Ken.
I am the Monkey Boy.
And I'm Dan.
Yes, he am.
We are the Loud Idiots. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We got a packed house in this place tonight. I haven't seen the studio this jam-packed in a long time. We have some of the cast and crew from the new short film, Tempted, which will be screening for the first time in Atlantic City here in Jersey at a film festival. Andre, you wrote and directed the project. What is the film festival, actually, first?
It is the Garden State Film Festival, and it's going to be taking place March 21st.
We're going to... Yeah. Hold on. There, let's try it again.
Let's try that again.
Okay, it's the...
There we go.
Yes, hi, hello.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, welcome.
We have a thing against writer-directors. We just pot them down every chance because I find that they talk way too much. So we were prepared for it, and I forgot to turn you back on. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at you. Guy whose name I forget.
No, I'm sorry. So tell us about the film festival first.
It's the Garden State Film Festival, which is the 15th annual in Atlantic City. 13th annual, sorry. And it's going to be the Resorts Casino Hotel in the Resorts Ballroom, March 21st at 8 p.m. And our screening block is RBR 17.
Awesome. We have a familiar face. We got Kat Wood with us, who's been on the show before. And
hi, Kat, everybody.
Kat's one of the leads in the project. We're not going to go too much into what you do in the film now. We're going to save that for later when we are talking about Tempted, because I got a lot that I need to go over with you about this film and what it took to get you into the place you were in this film. Who else do we have with us?
I'm Paul Wallace. I played Donald in the film. I don't know if I can say that just yet, but yeah, it's
too late,
I do. Right?
No, you can't.
It's a huge spoiler.
Too bad. No. Well, now there's no point in even watching the movie.
I know. Don't even show up.
And my name is Adam Chinoy, and I'm the producer and cinematographer of the movie.
Very, very cool.
I can't get over how badly that the movie's been spoiled now.
I know. I know of one guy in this movie, and it's been spoiled. Wait, yeah. What? No.
It's like when you find out that Kaiser Soze is really a dude.
What?
Hey, that's what happens.
I might be mixing movies here.
That's what happens when you ask for interviews on St. Patrick's Day, man. Lucky I know my own name.
Yeah, clink it up.
It was Fight Club when you find out Kaiser Soze is really a man.
I thought that was Boondock Saints.
No, that was
Are you sure it wasn't King Kong?
Oh, you might be right. You might be right.
King Kong. Wasn't it Reservoir Dogs?
I thought King Kong was Fight Club. It was just like that was the Hong Kong release title.
You don't see parallels.
No, Fight Club is when you found out that Meatloaf actually had a name.
No, that actually did happen, dude. You're missing the joke. Damn it. Ruined everything.
Before we get into the plot.
Hey, dude, I thought we weren't supposed to talk about Fight Club. Well, rule one.
If you've been listening, we really technically still haven't. So.
No, rule number one is no pooftas. Did I say pooftas?
No pooftas.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into the plot and everything going on with Tempted, I got to talk to you guys briefly before the show started. Some of you guys are pro wrestling fans.
Yes, indeedy.
Yes, definitely.
We hate your kind. Get out of here.
Fine. We'll leave after the show.
I know Pete had a little something that you might have wanted to bring up in regards to WWE.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I really oversold that.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking how funny it would be if Paul Heyman started using like WrestleMania numbering for his speeches.
How so?
Yeah, like if at WrestleMania he gets up and he's like, I am the I behind the I in XXI and I.
You're right. It really wasn't worth it.
I told you I oversold it. Paul Heyman, Roman numerals. It's hilarious.
Let me ask you guys here tonight. Some of you guys are wrestling fans. Are you looking forward to WrestleMania for this year?
Well, I told Adam earlier today, we need to get the hardest liquor we could get for WrestleMania.
Yes, definitely.
I needed that for 2 years ago when it was in New York, New Jersey. Actually, I was drinking a lot, and that still didn't help me.
Oh, yeah. You were drinking so much that you thought you were in someplace called New York, New Jersey.
You're right.
WrestleMania was in New Jersey that year.
Yeah.
No. I think the card's okay. For the most part, I think that the only thing that really upsets me the most is basically Undertaker, because what's really the point? 21-1 and an additional win? Or what? Because it makes no sense.
Yeah, how's that count?
You're right, but I think this is going to be nothing more. I've been saying this for the last year, that I think it's a time for a passing of the torch. And if you're going to pass on Taker's streak, I think one of the new up-and-comers that you would give it to is Bray Wyatt, that has a similar type of gimmick. You know, it's got that, he's got that cult thing, the dark aspect.
He's definitely the heir to the Taker's mystique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Definitely.
Although I've got a problem with him and who his opponent is. Just the Taker being there will put my butt in the seat.
Yeah.
Know?
No, yeah.
I would watch him.
We haven't seen him in a year, so.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem with the WrestleMania card so far is that you have almost half the matches on the card that it was all one-sided hype. I mean, Undertaker hasn't shown his face. Sting showed his face 3 times.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's shown up twice.
The three big cards are half being held up by part-timers.
Yeah.
And they're built up on video packages.
Mm-hmm. Or Paul Heyman in that case. And therefore, what's interesting is that Paul Heyman is talking for two wrestlers, not one. Because Roman Reigns, he still has to work on his mic skills. And Lesnar, who wants to hear his voice? It sounds like a 12-year-old child.
I'm gonna step up and defend Reigns, because I don't think he's bad on the mic. You know, I think he's better than Kevin Nash or Sid Vicious was when they were trying to push the two of them.
Well, Sid Vicious was just completely unintelligible.
Yeah, I know.
I think he just needs work.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Is
I don't think he's any worse than Rocky Maivia. Prince Maivia was, you know?
I just think he's terribly micromanaged by the writers and Vince, you know, Suffered Succotash and Magic Beans. Like, how is that guy supposed to be the main event of WrestleMania and everybody's still on the Daniel Bryan bandwagon?
Well, it goes back, though, you know, the company has to make decisions and they have to give chances to people. And the only way you can do it is to throw them into the lion's den to see, A, how the crowd reacts, and B, if these guys can actually hold their own. And sell it, you know. And a lot of people are upset by the Roman Reigns thing, and I was too. But the more I think about it, it's no different from when you had some of the younger guys back when they gave The Rock the push. You know, back then, you know, he had a following, but back then people were kind of saying the same thing. It's just that back then we didn't have a huge internet, you know, buzz for people to voice their opinions. You know, but the company itself seriously hasn't changed in how they're pushing their talent, or at least giving someone a chance to see if they can do it. You know, once WrestleMania is done, if Reigns can, shows that, you know, he may not be ready, then they push him back for a little bit and build someone else up, or we get Daniel Bryan back in that contention spot.
Well, the way I see it right now is, like, if you look at, like, say, John Cena 10 years ago when they were pushing him as the face of the company, yeah, he was getting cheered, he was getting booed, but he was still getting a big reaction no matter what. Reigns, he comes out there and barely anything, really. And I think that's kind of disturbing, however way they decide to go after Mania.
Well, like I said, the only thing we can do is actually check out the event and see how it pans out. Because, I mean, let's face facts, what was it? It's Reigns, Lesnar?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think we already know that Lesnar's gone after this.
Yeah, there's been some debate on, or internet debate, actually, of what exactly is going to happen with him. But I don't know. For me personally, on the card, what I'm most upset about is how Goldust and Stardust are not fighting. Brother versus brother.
And they just started building that.
And pass the torch that way. I don't know. I think I told Andre this, or I told one of our friends this, that I overheard, or I read one of the conversations online that said, yeah, they were going to push it, and then because there was no real backing from the fans, they scrapped it immediately. And I was like,
yeah, they pulled
I don't
it,
think so.
They pushed it too fast at Fastlane. They gave us that match at Fastlane, and I don't know how they really expected to get that match at Fastlane and then do it again at WrestleMania. I don't think it was ever going to have enough legs for that.
My biggest problem with it, I think, is they dropped the ball in a giant way to actually make it an emotionally impactful thing and have Goldust drop the makeup and have it wrestle Dustin Rhodes versus Stardust. Ooh. I think that would have been the turn that you could have possibly been able to get that promotion, and you might have been able to get that drive because it brings the fan into it.
Goldust
makes you care about the characters.
Goldust standing there in the full makeup telling Stardust to back off the deep end was very difficult to buy. Like,
yeah, I would agree with
that. Dude, look at you.
Maybe you're absolutely right that he should have,
pot,
you know,
kettle
afterward, or even like after Fastlane, like the next show, just been get rid of the makeup and go.
Okay, no,
I'm talking
seriously.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe you didn't get it.
Yeah.
This is Dustin,
and that's how you spread an extra 3 weeks out of it.
You should have done that, but they didn't.
Nope.
Maybe
no milking
their plan B.
I think that the best thing that could actually end up coming from this WrestleMania is if Brock Lesnar no-shows, which is one of the pseudo-concerns that's coming up. Because at that point, you give everyone what you want, you drop Daniel Bryan out of whichever match, I can't remember if he was in Andre the Giant or the ladder match.
The ladder match.
Yeah. But you pull him out of that, you tell the fans flat out, hey, this is what happened, so we'll give you what you want. Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns. Have them actually go out and prove themselves. Take all the strings off them and say, go out and win over this crowd. I think that would be the greatest thing to happen to the company, and it will spurn from one of the worst possible things to happen.
Would Seth Rollins just show up and say, I got this briefcase?
Well, that's exactly what I think.
Right
that's what I think it's going to happen. With them trying to appease the fans, too, especially with the outcry for Roman Reigns, I think Roman Reigns is going to wind up beating Lesnar. Because they're going to hype it so that he can at least beat him. And as soon as his hands raise and he falls, Rollins is going to come out, hit him with the briefcase, and take it right from him immediately.
Probably. I would expect that to happen if this is not the last match on the card. Like, say if they put Sting and Triple H at the end and save Reigns and Lesnar, like the match before, then I could possibly see the Money in the Bank gets cashed in.
I think that no matter what the overall end game from WWE's standpoint is for Seth Rollins to walk out, whether it's Brock Lesnar in the match or whether he no-shows and you put Daniel Bryan in there, that's why I think to have these two young bucks that you really want to prove their mettle, I mean, you know the match is essentially worthless anyway. So have them go out there and earn the respect of the fans.
Well, you know what the match is essentially set up for, too, is just to, you know, make sure that Paul Heyman still has a job after this, because he just jumps from Lesnar to Rollins
or Reigns.
I'm thinking Rollins. You know, they already had that kind of bond going on.
Well,
you know,
I mean, they are kind of talking and saying how it's like, listen, I respect you. I know your family and this and that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Heyman eventually picks him up.
Possible. Yeah. Very possible.
Did you guys see Raw?
No, I didn't.
Last night?
I only saw part of it.
God, that was amazing at the very end, watching Randy Orton and Sting standing side to side. It was the team up that nobody ever gave a rat's ass about.
Hey, at least we got to see a Stinger splash.
Yeah, great.
And him finally talking after the show.
and you know, the week before we got to hear The Undertaker talk from about 10 years ago.
All right.
And a chair burned. Ooh.
All right,
build up to WrestleMania.
We'll I'll put a stop to this. It's WrestleMania is what, next weekend, I believe. We're about a week out.
Weekend after next.
Weekend after. Weekend after next.
Well, first we have to deal with our attempted weekend.
Yeah, yes. And nice segue, thank you. So this weekend coming up is
that's why I'm a producer.
Is the film festival for that Tempted's going to be screening in. Now, Andre, I did mention that you are the writer director of Tempted. There's a little bit of history in this story. I know it's taken some time to actually, you know, get from concept to final product.
Yeah, you know, I was taking a short film class in Emerson College up in Boston where I was attending, and I was giving my professor all these different ideas I had for scripts, and one of the ideas was about a kid who is tempted to lose his virginity to a stripper, and I was surprised when he said that was like the best idea that I had out of all the stuff I pitched. So I wrote it and I kept rewriting it for him. And I kind of kept it on the back burner after I got out of college, because then I was making a number of different films in New York. And
well, from a professor's standpoint, you know, I could see students wanting to do like super artsy films, and they're writing all these scripts.
Got a stripper. Oh, give me all the stripper.
He really just wanted to watch a film with strippers and hope that you'd make it in his class.
Yeah, nothing about serious relationships that go dark.
So you wanted us to remake Playboy Channel, basically.
So give us a little bit of the, I mean, we got the basic. It's about a student, a kid who wants to lose his virginity. But thank you. I was able to get a chance to see the film in advance. And it really pulls from a lot of the late 70s, early 80s, you know, teen comedies, the frat comedies, you know, going back to like Animal House and King Frat, and even to a degree The Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, you know? I mean, even as I wrote it and approached it, I mean, I remember telling Adam, like, I didn't want to shoot the movie like all the comedies you see now, like Accepted or Superbad, where everything's like all kind of high key and cheery. I wanted to go back to something that was a little bit more grounded. Like you said, Animal House had a lot of stuff that even my dad could say he saw when he was in school. And I even cited Risky Business, because even as a comedy, there was still sort of like a real world element to it. And, you know, all those 80s films, Porky's and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I was trying to draw from those and, you know, still have fun, but still have kind of a message to it.
Well, now let me talk to some of the other guys here, too. I was debating where to go first, but yes. Oh. But, Paul, okay, so you are in the film. You run the frat house.
Last time I checked, yeah, that's what happened.
Let me ask you.
It's been a while since we filmed it, but yeah.
Let me ask you, did you come from the frat mentality? Were you in a frat leading up to the film?
Actually, not at all, man. My education background is I went to community college, Nassau Community College. That's basically
Co Lions.
It.
Sorry.
We have a fan.
No, we have a student. I go there now, so.
Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah.
So we are kind of in a fraternity in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
It's, the Lion Pride. Takes a special person to go to Nassau Community College.
Really does.
The Lion Pride.
Parking lot is atrocious. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
The parking is just...
I can't tell you how many times I was almost killed in that parking lot.
I know. Walking.
Kids. Driving.
These kids. Where'd they get their driver's license? A Cracker Jack
I don't think
box?
Most
my
of
God.
Them, I don't think most of them go there. I think they just kind of show up like, all right. Let's just
it's
stop
the Nassau
here.
Community
a handful
Driver's
of
Ed program.
Nails
really? And they all foul. They're horrible.
Are you sure it's just not a truck stop? It is Long Island, after all.
It's close. Uh-huh.
It's not a parking lot. It's actually just the LIE.
Very true.
Very.
So Paul, tell us a little bit about the character and where you actually drew some of your inspiration in portraying him from.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, It starts with yeah. I know. I paused there for a second.
I know you did.
St. Patrick's Day. Give me a break. Yeah. So I start with the script. I read the script, which was I don't know. I think Adam gave it to me first, and he was like, "Read this and tell me if you like it. I'd like you for this part." And I always read a script and say like, "What's challenging about this character?" And it's kind of the confidence and the power that that character has. Just like, I'm the boss. So to kind of prepare for it, you know, I got in touch with a friend of mine, Tadeo DeCastro, shout out, Franklin Square. yeah, he was a frat leader at Oneonta, so I kind of shadowed him a little bit and followed him. I was like, what would you do, you know, what's it like doing this? And he just kind of taught me a lot about what it's like being the boss, your word is it, there are no worries, you're in charge. And just kind of getting in that mentality of just like, I don't care, like, I'm it, you know. That was sort of the preparation for it, and just kind of walking around wherever I could and being like, yeah, I want a small coffee. Did you say small? Yeah, I said small. You got that? Yeah, good. Give it to me.
Tell us a little bit about your wardrobe.
Oh, my wardrobe. Andre is a really wonderful director in a sense. He gives us a lot of freedom to explore the character and kind of create it. And I had this idea of like, because the character's in charge, he don't care what he wears. He don't got to dress up for nobody. I don't got to dress up for anybody anyway.
Says the man in a button down and a vest.
Yeah.
You should see him when he's actually on set.
Yes.
My Bart Simpson shirt. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that was kind of the idea for the wardrobe there. It was like, you know, I don't got to dress up for anybody, man. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. What's up? And that, you know, that was where the hat I just found like a week before. So I was like, I'm just gonna put this in the film, and if as long as nobody says anything, I'm wearing it. Like,
and for most of the film, aren't you actually walking around in a bathrobe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I lost that bathrobe. I still have the hat. I don't think I have the bathrobe anymore.
Do you at least have the A that's supposed to be on it?
In fact, I think I have two of them.
Yeah. That thing kept falling off.
Yeah, that thing kept falling off. I kept having the wardrobe girl like having to like re-gaff tape it and stick it on my chest. And, you know, I didn't mind it, but whatever.
Well, that's silly. You just make the A out of gaff tape.
I wish we could have done that.
When I was in college, I had my tech shirt, which was the shirt that I wore every time I did tech for a play. And we took gaff tape and wrote tech, T-E-K, as it is spelled, across the chest. And I wore that to we did that freshman year. I wore it for 4 years, and I threw 4 years worth of washes and plays. That gaff tape did not come off.
Wow.
Ooh. Gaff tape holds.
Gaff tape's the best part. Yeah. I was playing street hockey with my friend. We have an annual game like every Thanksgiving and every Christmas. And 1 year we didn't have an extra set of goalie pads, and we stuck my big fat friend in the other side of the net.
That's what we're good for.
And he was sliding back and forth, and he ripped his knee up, and we just put pillows on his knees. Yeah. So he ripped his knee up, and we just went, all right, you're good. Where's the gaff tape? Put that on his knees, rewrapped it, and he was fine. He played the rest of the game. Thank God he was blackout drunk.
I have done gaff tape binges before.
Oh, yeah,
definitely,
man.
Yes. One of the greatest experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, 10 days worth of gangrene later is fine, but yeah.
The fever breaks eventually.
Yeah.
Penicillin.
Let me jump
That's
over.
Why you make sure your entire crew must have their tetanus shots current.
Let me jump over to Adam too. Now you were behind the scenes during production on this.
Yes, I was.
Tell us a little bit about your duties and what you had to take care of.
Adam was an acrobat. I just want to add that in really quick before he starts.
I was.
Yeah, well, some of the positions you like were filming in, you were like
I got some
just in contorted poses. I'm like, how's he staying? Like,
I got some great pictures of him like hanging over a ladder,
yeah,
like 8 feet
yes
in the air, like
looking down at the circle and stuff.
Slamming a 5D in my face.
That ladder.
J.J. Abrams has drones for this.
Well, I have a ladder and a long stretch of arms that are somewhat.
Yeah, no lens flares here.
No, that was actually one of the first things you said to me was because I was producer and cinematographer at the same time. You know, I was constantly just kind of thinking, okay, location, now what does this look like? Now what is this? What is that? And Andre and I, we talked a lot about the movie and what we wanted the look to be specifically. Because when he said, I don't want it to look like today, I was like, thank God. Because it's different. It makes it stand out, first of all. And
well, how worried were you when you got there and Andre had like inversion boots for you and you're like, you're going to be hanging upside down doing a shot?
Well, I didn't know I would be Spock from like Star Trek V. All of a sudden I'd go up a mountain and I'd be like, oh, well, here I am.
Yeah.
No, but it was a lot. It was definitely a lot of fun. And along with what Paul said when he said, oh, well, Andre let us just do whatever we want with the character. He let me do a lot with the cinematography for this as well. He gave me free reign, even though we were talking the entire time and going like, well, how about this? How about this? He kind of let me just do what I wanted. And then eventually we came up with stuff on the day.
It almost sounded like you were pulling like an Orson Welles with a camera there, just in all different contorted sets. And were you digging like holes in the ground to jump into for it?
You know, there's one shot in particular that if there was a hole in the ground, it would have made it so much easier. Because at one point the camera's all the way down on the floor and I'm like literally right behind it as flat as I can be, and everyone's kind of looking in over it. They're supposed to be looking at a specific object, as if like, what's going on? I'm not giving away any spoilers, so don't worry. And I wish I had like, I don't know, another 5 more feet down just to get that one shot, because that would have been amazing to get.
Still look great though.
Oh yeah, no, it did look great, but you know, 5 more feet would have been nice. But the guy whose house it was, Mike, wouldn't let us dig into his floor, unfortunately.
Quitter.
No dedication there.
Seriously.
Not a real filmmaker.
No, exactly. And that's what I did back and forth, especially on the day of. It worked out really well. And I don't know. Hopefully it made Andre more relaxed on the day. So.
Oh, without a doubt, I was very comfortable with him versus like other people I've worked with that, you know, like, oh, I got to see the blocking and I got to see a shot list and this and that. But it's like we already knew what the story was going to be and how we wanted to photograph each character. So it's like, you know, this is pretty much the gist of what I'm looking for. You know, you go and you just make it work and I'll worry about the performances.
Exactly. And the best part was that all he said was, I wanted to feel like this movie and this movie and this movie. And I said, great, how about this one and this one? Just to throw something out there just for like particular shots. And he's like, yeah, why not? Let's do it.
And awesome.
Perfect. It was great.
Awesome. All right. I'm ready to get the cat because, like I said, there's a big there's a lot of meat to the next group of questions coming up. But I'm going to ask that we hold off for a second. We're going to take a quick break. If Pete's got something queued up, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, again, I've got so many questions for you, Kat.
Okay.
You are
in trouble.
Yes.
Apparently.
Satan, leave my poor son alone. Satan, leave my poor son alone. Satan, leave my son alone. Go back to your fiery hole. Satan, leave my poor son alone. Mom
sitting on that front porch crying. Mama sitting on that front porch crying. Don't try to stop, no use trying. Watch firstborn baby dying. Mama sitting on that front porch crying. Take my loving son to the river. I killed my son with my own hands. Bow my head to shame for man. Killed my only son in the river. Good Lord, won't you save my soul? Good Lord, won't you save my soul? The Lord, won't you save my soul? The Lord, won't you save my soul? Satan, leave my poor son alone. Satan, leave my poor son alone. Satan, leave my son alone. Go back to your fiery home. Satan, leave my poor son alone.
We are back, Loud Idiots Radio Program, and we got the cast and crew of Tempted here with us. You guys having fun tonight?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Heck, fire, and brimstone.
Good old time.
My cursing limitations are. So.
Too much to drink?
Right at the wall.
Yeah, well, if you forget, then you are in deep shoot.
you watch your fracking mouth, all right?
Fork
this.
That's a
listen, you mother good. Father. All right?
So, Kat.
Yes.
I tease a little bit going into the break, but you have a very pivotal part in this film.
Thanks. I guess, yes.
You are the lead female character of this film.
Yes. I hope. Female. Yes.
I was.
When I looked, yes.
I think the camera showed it.
Yeah.
I was nervous before watching this because, you know, we're friends and you've mm-hmm. been on the show, you know, a few times. Yeah. And I heard that you were playing a stripper. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to see this movie because, you know, I love Kat. And
and therefore hate her body.
Kat's a friend and I was worried about seeing more of Kat than I was. You know, ready to, you know,
I'm going to make this as awkward for you as possible. So keep, no, just keep going.
Don't pop a
feet. So
we
I do want
filminess?
Yeah, I do want to ask, first off, where did you get it in you to actually pull off this character?
I'm going
to
pull a fangirl moment and say I got it from Irene Adler, the character on the show Sherlock. The actress name just went out of my brain. Bad fangirl moment.
Yes, but I know who you're talking about. I can't remember her name either.
Oh, she's on Downton Abbey. Yes, but she's really hot.
But continue.
I can't remember.
Judi Dench.
Hey,
no.
Hey.
Maggie Smith.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Judi Dench.
Judi
that is a
Dench
hot
is
old woman.
I'm
she
sorry.
Really
I'm sorry,
is,
what?
No.
Judi Dench would probably make an epic stripper.
Oh, yeah.
Not Judi Dench.
I would pay money to see that.
You know what? I like Dame Judi Dench, but actually what I meant was Maggie Smith.
And well.
I would much rather see Maggie Smith be stripper.
Nobody's a Helen Mirren fan? What's going
on? Oh. We started with Helen Mirren.
So, babe.
I would still...
I could drop a few dollars.
Still today, yes. I would.
Oh, any, yeah. any day.
Any day. But now, so, yes. as Kat's getting ready to choke on the candy that she decided to pop in her mouth before she got in front of the mic.
Well, that's just so I don't have a coughing fit as I choke. But go ahead.
That
I'm sorry.
Didn't work.
Yeah. It really backfired. Yeah. It did. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's turning almost as red as her sweater. No, so... Again, not an easy thing to pull off, but how did you find it in you to play this character?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I mean, the crew and the fellow castmates and stuff made it very easy. Like, I felt really kind of connected with Paul and Chris, like, right away. Like, we just really got along. Like, I felt that we just kind of clicked, and just, even before we started shooting, we were all just joking around with each other. So it was, like, that element of non-awkward between the castmates and myself. And I've known Adam. I worked with Adam and Andre on a movie. Andre did Nightstream.
Nightstream.
I was an extra in that, and that's how I met them, and kind of just, so I was already comfortable with them. So it really wasn't like anything intimidating, you know. I don't know. It just, I just kind of zoned into that character and how she walked into the room. She was naked, and, you know, and I just, from that empowerment that she had and the character Irene Adler. And then, like, I just kind of used that in a weird sense to just kind of empower the character to just go in and do a job. That was what it was. Just go in and do a job.
Now, Adam, were you shooting the scenes?
I shot every scene, yes.
All right. Now, how closed off was this, the set during some of these? Because we had a striptease at one point. We had like a lap dance kind of scene. And then we actually had an awkward bedroom scene.
It was.
Well, that I shot. The bedroom scene. It was the bedroom scene.
It was the very first scene that we had to shoot at the film.
Was it one of those, how about we just knock it out and get it over with so we don't have to, you know, build up the attention?
Well, Andre and his AD did the scheduling, so you tell me.
Yeah, you know,
is that why?
Get the difficult parts out of the way first and, you know, smooth sailing after that.
So there's your answer to that. But
if this scene doesn't work, the whole movie's screwed anyway. So let's do that first.
Yeah, might as well get it out of the way.
And I mean, starting off with
then we don't have to bother with the rest.
Starting off with an awkward scene, I mean, the actors are just getting to know each other. You don't want to have that comfort level at the end of the shooting either.
Yeah. Well, I think the best thing was that also for, even for Andre, was that that scene, even though it could be awkward, there's only two characters in that entire scene. So I think to ease in with just two actors and then go to the bunch, which later that day, we had everybody there. I'm sure it made it a lot easier for us to all transition into it. And as you, and to answer your question, the bedroom scene was as locked off as we could make it for that particular scene. But obviously for when she does the lap dance scene, when we have all the people from the frat and everything, everyone was in the room. The whole crew was there. And basically, we just kept it as professional as we could that time.
That bedroom scene was as locked off as it could be after me and Chris broke the door on the first
time. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Right.
And after that, it was like, all right, it's going to be this kind of shoot. Like, it took forever.
Sorry, Andre, we broke your house.
Yeah, well, I'm out of it after this week, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Sorry, Andre's mom, we broke your house.
We're sorry.
Well, yeah, because
so sorry.
There were no sets in this. I mean, this was an actual house that it was shot in. So you had a fairly open area in the garage for you know, we had everybody together for the lap dance scene. You had the living room initially for where the party started, right? Yeah. So that was a fairly decent open area. You get to the bedroom, that couldn't have been that big.
No, mm-hmm. It's like, small. Mm-hmm.
Very small.
You know, and I'm looking at it from that standpoint, like, how was it setting up the lighting and getting the characters on their marks? And like, was it, as like, how was it in a cramped situation when you've had this whole open area for the rest of the film?
Well, I think for that particular scene, what happened was that if the actors missed the mark, it didn't matter. I just kind of just moved the camera over like a little bit, and he just didn't use those frames. I mean, we make it as simple as that because, I mean, that was also part of the talk that he and I had about the cinematography was that he didn't want to go like The Office where it was like all over the place, but he also didn't want it as like stand still as like the old days of like the 70s and 80s where everything's on tripod. He wanted some movement in all the shots, but, you know, not jerky or anything like that. So I think we kind of managed that the whole time, no matter what. And yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I also gotta give a shout out to Chris Tabbitt, who's not here today.
Hey, cheers, brother.
I'm drinking for you, buddy.
Yeah, he plays Danny in the film. He's the virgin trying to get into the frat, and he was a real trooper, I gotta say, for an actor to do the things that we put him through.
Yeah, what you guys did was crazy.
Well, let me go back to Kat in that respect too. I mean, having to do the scenes that you did one on one with this guy, like, how was it for you? Like, was there any awkwardness to it? Was, I mean, and for both sides, like, you know. Give us your side, and then if you guys want to jump in and say what, you know, the other guy's reaction was too.
I had no problem saying, you know, I've done the modeling, so the bra stripping down.
Yeah, I mean, when we first met, it was through the Women of Armageddon.
Right. So, like, going down to, you know, the the bra and stuff and the panties. It to me was like, it's a bathing suit. That's to me what a bra and panties is. It's a bathing suit. So that wasn't so uncomfortable for me. The lap dance wasn't uncomfortable for me.
What are you doing after the show? Wait a minute.
Stop that.
Now you made it uncomfortable.
Now I made it uncomfortable.
Well done, Ken. Good.
However, certain, I'm trying to tell the cheesecake story without telling the cheesecake story.
It's like the, we'll say, the when Harry met Sally moment.
The Harry met Sally moment. I had a very hard time doing the Harry met Sally moment. So the sound guy was Sasha was a genius because he said just think of something, and I was like, I don't know what to think of, you know. And I'm sitting here, you know, being this fangirl trying to think of my favorite handsome actors and, you know, stupid things.
You're
like
trying
that
to motivate yourself to find the right noise to come out of your mouth,
right? And
scene.
I couldn't do it, so my friend had taken me to the Cheesecake Factory, and I had red velvet cheesecake, and Sasha said, think of food. And I was like, okay. And I went, cheesecake. And the whole scene is everything that is noise that are coming out of my mouth is all about cheesecake, everybody. It's all cheesecake. That's all it is. It's all cheesecake. It was delicious cheesecake. I want cheesecake.
And by the way, I almost blew that take in the audio because I was just like so happy I end up hitting the boom mic.
I was almost in tears. I mean, I had Chris. I was, sorry.
Sorry.
I had Chris. I was like hugging him, like, and I had my. And he's like, "Get your face out of his neck." And I was like, "I can't do it. I can't do it." I was like almost crying because I felt like I couldn't do it. And then Sasha said, "Think of food." And I went, "Cheesecake." And
Andre, I was so close to saying, "Why don't we just offer her a Klondike bar?"
No joke.
That could have worked.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're playing the
first. I was going to build on that. It's just, if I can have, Catherine, can I have a fangirl moment about you?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Catherine came in, and, you know, that's a hard role. It's not easy for really any actor to come in and do something that kind of physical and intimate. And she kind of came in, and I never got the sense that she gave a flip. Like, she just, like that, how I avoided that. She came in, and she just, I mean, I was in there for the garage the whole time. I was in for some of the bedroom, like, I don't know. It was a very fearless performance. Like,
you know,
I mean that sincerely. Like,
thank you.
And
from the other side of the door.
From which I was in the garage the whole time, man. I was like, and in the garage for a guy like me who's, you know, in that scene, like that,
yeah,
that kind of thing inspires me. And that goes, okay, this girl's free, this girl's loose, this girl's into it. That's what other actors
want
to
see. Can we not say loose, maybe?
He doesn't mean it that way. He doesn't mean it in that respect.
Well, yeah, well, you know.
I'm, of course, speaking of your performance.
Thank you.
On Chris.
It was a very funny performance.
But no, you see that and you get inspired. And then you're like, all right, man, this other actor's going for it.
Sure,
so I'm
going
to go for it. Too,
right.
And now it's like, all right, I got the freedom to do what I want to do, and you get inspired by that, and you build on it, and that was kind of what the whole cast and crew was like.
We all fed off each other.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Andre
yeah.
was in this, being the director that he was, and let us kind of put in our own input, our own thought process behind the character. Even when I read the script, I said, you know, there was a couple lines that, you know, he said, okay, well, I want you to do this part, and I said, okay, well, can I, you know, this line makes me feel this way. Can I say it this way? And he was like, you know what? That does sound better coming out of your mouth, you know, with you saying it this way. So, like, he's a very open director to ideas, to what he feels the actors can do to get the best performance. He's not like, I want it this way and that's that. If he gives you that leeway to explore, like he said. And it's just, that's what makes a difference. And I think that's why we were all so comfortable and so calm and, you know, it wasn't any, I mean, my knees were hurting after a while from the dancing and the heels, but which he told me I could take off and he did not let me. And, but you know, that was the only gripe I have in the whole thing.
Oh,
if he didn't let me take my boots off.
Now, no one, you haven't seen this yet, Kat, have you?
No.
And has your family heard about this yet or?
Yes. Mom and my boyfriend have heard. I just, you know. Still don't know how prepared I can prepare them because I don't really know 100% as to what it is. But
are they going out to the screening?
Yes, my mom and my boyfriend are being very wonderful supporters and coming with me to the screening.
Very cool.
I'm sorry, I'm just reacting. Dan almost spit his coffee out of his mouth when Kat said that her family was going out to see it.
God bless you.
I have a great support team.
My friend, is fearless.
Though I'm curious, do strippers' parents actually go and support their daughter in their first performance?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So how awkward would that moment be? I mean, that could. It's a big moment in someone's
life. Well, my
life,
mom changed my diaper, It's not like she's not, you know, seeing me naked. I mean, she sometimes comes in the bathroom when I'm coming out of the shower. It's like,
Kat,
hey, Mom.
I was going to say, Kat, I think you've changed a little bit since you were a baby in diapers.
I hope so. Hope so.
So
I got taller.
Now let me ask a little bit about Chris in this movie, especially in the scenes that we're just talking about. I mean, unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here with us to jump in. But what was the vibe that you got from him when you guys were shooting these scenes and working with when he was working with Kat?
Let's all put words in his
mouth. Take the reins for putting words in Chris Tabbitt's mouth, because I trained with the guy. He's actually one of my best friends. I trained him for 2.5 years at the William Esper Studio. Shout out Terry Knickerbocker. So if you're into acting, that's where you need to check it out if you really want to go to learn. So me and him, I mean, it's like a journey together. So I remember reading the script, and they wanted me to read the part of Donald, and I read the part of Danny, and I went, that's Chris Tabbitt, and I sent him over for it. So he and I kind of worked on it back and forth, and then we showed up. Like, we don't really have any. We have like one or two scenes together, kind of. I don't remember now.
There's quite a few, actually.
Is there?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. I haven't been allowed to see the movie. They know I'll spoil it.
Yes, you would. You have a big mouth.
I don't know how it ends. I just hear it's bad for my wife. but I know from talking to him, he was very comfortable. He was very open, and he was kind of like, if I don't want to badmouth him on the air, but he's kind of a pervert. So he was kind of like, anything Catherine would do to him, he was like, yeah. I mean, no.
Oh, my God.
Give me more. I think he'd be honored to hear me say that about him on the air. So I do hope he gets to hear this. And
he was a trooper, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, he was definitely a trooper.
Definitely a trooper. And,
but he wasn't a creeper, so that was good for me.
No,
he wasn't.
No,
he wasn't. He was a very, very gentleman. Perverted gentleman.
Yeah, he's at least a
gentlemanly
gentle...
perverted. I like that. Yeah.
Wicked.
I will say
I'm
for
taking that.
I will say for
you
Chris.
Can have it.
Thank you.
When Andre and I were looking through the script, and then we sat down with a buddy of ours and rewrote parts of the script just because we're like, oh, this will be funnier. Oh, this will be funnier. And Chris had to take the joke every time because it was always something physical. We're very happy he was a trooper for that. Let me tell you about that.
He's definitely an actor who's up for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely know
Which,
that.
Which, by the way, I'm happy that one particular joke is not in the trailer, because that's going to be great for everyone to watch.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know what joke they're talking about, and I was in this project. Don't you feel in the dark, Paul?
A little bit, yeah.
You two are not nice.
I'm so sorry.
Mean.
We are starting to run out of time. Again, I want to thank you guys for coming out and hanging with us. It is a fun project. But I wanted to take a quick roundtable from everybody. And each one of you, if you can give me one of the biggest takeaways from working on this thing.
Ooh.
One? I feel like I've been talking too much. Like,
I know for me personally, I'm just happy Andre let me just be creative with the cinematography. And after all the years that I've worked with him, because this is not our first rodeo together, mm-hmm. We started out. He was directing a feature where I was just the key grip, and then the next feature I became the gaffer, and then eventually became his AD, and now I became the DP. The
moving
one thing
up
I'm,
in the world.
Yeah, I'm moving up and then moving all over the place. But the one thing I've always been, I was happy about was that he kind of let me just have the creativity and fun for me to just shoot it and just enjoy. So,
Was there anything that you learned that you may not have wanted to learn during this project?
Good question. Unlock the door?
Well, I mean, Andre, as a writer-director, I mean, there's something that has to be some sort of obstacle.
Yeah, the extra situation.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
How to deal with extras.
Yeah, well, having...
you mean the art department?
The
art department with the extras.
Yeah,
let me jump in real quick. I mean,
I'm talking about one particular extras.
This is a party movie. Wouldn't you think it would just be easy? Like, everyone there would just be partying and just maybe just cracking jokes and laughing.
Yeah, not like drinking beers on set. Like,
you know?
If the booze was real, then maybe it would have been a lot different of a film.
Well, that's what they would say, but like when you try to get people on a Saturday morning to come out, it's,
yeah, it was early. Yeah. Oh my God, it was like a 13-hour, 14-hour day the first day,
and the keg was not there at all.
No,
yeah, there was no keg.
Nope.
A lot of food, but no keg.
A lot of delicious food. Oh my God,
yeah. It was so a good pool. I remember. Oh, no, that was the second day.
That was the second day.
Yeah, but it was also like a very cold day, so no one wanted to go in there.
Yeah.
No, and it was dirty.
But there was a dog.
There was a dog.
There was a dog.
We were able to play with a dog all
day.
Yeah, he was.
Dog hated me.
No, I think the dog hated sound because he kept barking through most of the talking to me.
You guys remember the ghost in the garage? Yeah. We had a ghost in the garage.
You mean the one that opened the middle of the scene?
Yeah, we were shooting and then all of a sudden the garage door just started opening and all the lights started toppling over and we're like, oh my God. And everybody was scrambling to grab everything.
Like
and it happened
like
a few times.
Scene in The Simpsons where Marge is homeschooling Bart and Homer keeps driving in.
But
I'm imagining
say,
that
combined
with Cleveland on Family Guy with the
no. But I will say this, that our gaffer, Tank, he did a great, because it was his gear that he was just very much appreciative and going like, okay, everyone just help me out. Let me put it back. And he was very good about that and didn't blow his top or anything, which was fantastic. He's a lot of fun to work with, and I think you know him. I'm going to.
Yes, I do.
Always a shout out to the Grip and Electric Department.
Yeah,
Mike
I have
Pacino.
To.
Oh yeah,
I have to.
Oh yeah, Tank,
me too, man.
Tank's phenomenal. Tank's one of the best at what he does.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. And I also want to give a shout out on our music department, Lou Odsmanson, who did most of the guitar riffs in the film, and Mylon and the Sour Goat, who gave us Reverend's Daughter in our soundtrack, and he's got a film playing at Garden State as well. Actually,
yes,
his music video.
Yes, it does. It's going to be playing, and unfortunately, at the exact same time in a different block, which is a problem because I produced both and directed I directed the other one. So I'm actually going to Tempted, and Mylon's going to have to take over the reins on the other one to do.
Yeah, but it's okay. We're thankful for the film festival for accepting us either way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's got to be rough though, having to pick your favorite baby for the
the
screening.
It's really tough. But if Mylon wasn't coming down at all to support his own band and go to the music video, I would have to say, Andre, as much as I really want to go to Tempted and be with you guys, I have to go to the other one to do the support there, do the Q&A there and stuff like that.
You practiced that speech, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No. Sorry.
If you did, it was really good.
Oh, thank you.
You're committed.
It's a compliment.
I think it's just a business way and a producer way of just looking at it and saying, you know, you got to have someone represent everything that's there. And if you can't, if someone's not there to represent it and you don't have a choice, just do it.
All right.
Very simple.
Very cool. Now, we are starting to run out of time, like I had said. Again, thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you for having us.
If we wanted to know more about you guys in general and the film, where could we be directed?
I just started a new blog page. It's AJ Epyx, EPYX Productions.com, and you can follow me there and see all of my latest updates on the film. We have a Facebook page under Andre Joseph's Tempted. You can see the trailers, pictures, all the info there. And we have an IMDb page as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I still find it amazing I'm on IMDb.
You should be honored.
I know I am. It's just so weird because it's like, you know, I look up Benedict Cumberbatch on there and then...
Wait.
Same page. I'm on the same page.
Oh, but wait.
Wait till you're in the same movie as him. You will be.
I'm on there, and the funniest part is.
Oh, that's right. You are. That's
and the
right.
funniest part is, there's movies that I'm not even in that I have credits for. Apparently, I was in Gamer.
Really? So, nice.
That's what happens when you have probably the most generic name in the world. Hell, I'm on there twice.
It's pretty cool, though.
To find me, I mean, I'm also on. Besides those as well, and my name's there. You can find me on my regular Facebook as well as my film company's greengeckofilms.com. And Andre and I, we have a lot of projects that are linked together, so they both will redirect each other back and forth. And as for Paul?
I'm all over IMDb. I work Grip and Electric and all these kind of stuff.
Yes,
like,
you do.
I've gotten all these weird credits all over the place, but I'm not the guy from Gypsy. Just remember that. And Instagram, which apparently I just got and have, Paul, PAUL _ Wallace, WALLACE 37. That's my hockey number.
Yeah.
Nice. Yay.
Good number.
Yay.
What about you, Kat?
I have a page on Facebook. It's Catherine Mary Model. It's Catherine, KATHRYN
Mary. Do I really need to spell it?
No.
Model. Model, and that's on Facebook.
How many X's in Mary?
Six. Okay. So that's Mary. Where I am, and a lot of Andre does a lot of the promoting. Adam, you could I promote on there as well. It just
okay,
go Will crazy. Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Perfect. The film is Tempted, and it's screening at the Garden State Film Festival in Atlantic City.
Yes, this Saturday is RBR 17. And it's $12 for tickets, so you can buy them online at linerocket.com or at the door.
I highly recommend everybody who's in the area check it out. Guys, I want to thank you again for hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a blast. We'll have to do it again whenever the next project comes out. And
yeah. Also, if you want to go check out the film, please go to the Garden State Film Festival website. And also, we are trying to get voted for best... whatever the award is, I forgot what it
yeah,
was.
Audience favorite.
The audience favorite, yeah. So please vote for the film. It's Tempted.
Nice.
Vote early, vote
it's
often.
Really good, we promise.
Awesome, guys. Thanks again. That's going to do it for us. I'm Long Shot Ken.
I am the Monkey Boy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Big Papa Pete. Loud Idiots, out!